As I stated last Sunday morning, that it may surprise most of us to know that the primary task of the church is to preach the good news gospel. The church. Who's the church? That's you and that's me. Well, darn, Pastor, I thought that was just you. The primary task of the church is for the church to preach the gospel. What my flesh wants to do this morning, the flesh part of me, wants to go back and re-preach my entire sermon from last week to make sure that we all understand that we're all called to preach. And I made it very clear last Sunday what preaching is and what preaching isn't. Preaching is not being loud. It's not shouting. It's not being real charismatic. You can be talking slowly and calmly and be preaching the good news gospel. Preaching, defined, is the proclamation of the good news gospel. So for all you quiet folks that say that I can't preach, yes you can. Even if you're whispering, if you are presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are preaching. Preaching defined also is this, the broadcasting of divine truth, listen carefully, by way of the good news gospel, by God's people. That's preaching. Preaching is the release and proclamation and broadcasting of the good news gospel. That's preaching. I'm going to make the same declaration today that I made last Sunday. I believe with all of my heart when God dropped this sermon series upon me that God was saying and I was to declare that every person at NEC, even our guests that are here today, that you are going to preach the good news gospel by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So get ready. Because preaching is by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. As I said, learned a long time ago, without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you might just be giving a lecture or just a flow of words. It's not a sermon. It has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's preaching. So we're going to continue our series, Peter Preaches, this morning. And I'm going to begin with a quote, and I'm going to have several this morning based on preaching. Vance Havner said this, "The task of preaching is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable." My preaching may afflict you this morning if you're comfortable. Because we're going to have to get uncomfortable if we're going to do what God is calling us to do. We need to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to do some rehearsing from last week along the way, but I'm not going to rehearse the whole message, but I'm going to rehearse pieces of it. Let's go back to our story. Peter and John are on their way to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer meeting. As they're entering the gate to the temple, which is called the Gate Beautiful, there is a man there who is lame, and he's asking for money. Peter tells him, "Don't got any money, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. Now stand up, be healed, and walk." And the lame man is healed. Now, let's look at our opening verse from last week as we are going to go further into this incident and the sermon Peter preaches. Acts 3, verse 11, "While he clung, the man who was healed, to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's." Verse 12, "And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people." He addressed the people quickly. He didn't hesitate. As I talked about last week, he didn't tell John, "Hey, John, guess what? I know that I need to speak right now, but I need you to just kind of keep these people occupied so I can go away and get my 3-point sermon." Or John, see if they'll wait at least 2 months while I'm bake on what I'm going to say. No. Peter quickly moved on the opportunity that God presented. We talked about last week, are we missing God opportunities because we're too busy within our own self to recognize God just opened a door? Or do we back away with the excuse that I got to go get prepared? No, we're going to talk about that again today. We are the children of God. The Holy Spirit abides in us, right? And the Holy Spirit can do more in a few moments than we can do trying to think it out for 2 weeks. By the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we preach. Now, it's not going to be on the screen. I'm going to remind you of 2 Timothy 4:2 from last week, which says, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Whether it's favorable or not, are you staying prepared to release the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you staying prepared? Or are you avoiding opportunities? Or are you putting yourself so that you can engage an opportunity? You are to be prepared when it's favorable or not. We looked at this very deeply, and I'm going to drill down again. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. When God opens the door, we've got to move. We've got to move. Now, I'm going to share with you some insights from this first sermon. There's actually six, but I have combined them into four for time. So I'm going to ask you to stay with me as I'm going to begin to break open and uncover some things. Really, I'm going to be giving you some insights, more just like teaching, giving you some practical advice this morning on presenting the gospel and what we should be looking at. I'm going to begin with James. The first one is the directness of Peter. And the quote is from James H. Augie, who said this, "The mission of the church is to seek and to save them that are lost." Key word here. The mission of the church is to seek. Oh, I thought it was I was supposed to wait for them to come to me. What does Scripture say? Who's responsible for finding lost people? We are. And as we talked about last week, are you presenting yourself in front of people to where they would even let you come talk to them? Have you created an environment around you that you're attractional instead of being the opposite? People just want to stay away from you. It's important because we're supposed to seek the lost. It's like our neighbor. I've been planting and watering with my neighbor. And guess what? I didn't wait for my neighbor to come to me. I go over to him. And I go to him a lot. And I've been planting seed and I've been watering it and I go to him. And then the other day, he comes to me. 2 years later, he's on my porch seeking what I have. Because I've been planting and watering. Are we seeking the lost or are we waiting for them to show up on our doorstep? He came to my doorstep because what? I've been on his doorstep. Anybody with me so far? And then he caught Rochelle and I and came over to us just the other day. And God is about to kick the door open. We're actually going to get to go in his house and talk to the whole family. Now, come on. Are we seeking to save the lost? See, we're looking for opportunity to be seen and noticed. God wants us to be seen and noticed to the lost where nobody else knows what's going on. Nobody knows what you're doing. You're just doing what God is providing in front of you. I hope somebody got a revelation on that one. Man, I am off. Here we go. I stated last week the reason we're not doing it is, I believe the reason is because we have allowed life around us to take rulership over our call as the church. We put our agendas and priorities and what we think is important in front of the opportunities God's presenting on a daily basis for us to proclaim, to broadcast divine truth by way of the good news gospel to those who were in great need of it. The good news gospel. Now, Peter does something here that I want to dig out. Peter identifies very quickly and speaks directly to his audience. We read this in verse 12. And why is this important? I will share that. Verse 12, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Remember, they're all coming. They're just excited about what's going on. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety that we have made him walk? Now, he's establishing the groundwork to present the reason that this has happened. It's Jesus Christ. But he says, men of Israel, he didn't come up to them and go, let's see. I think what I'll do is I'll say, hey guys, let me talk to you about the men of Galilee. No, I tell you what, we'll talk about the men that are down in Caesarea. So what he did? No, he directly addressed the men that were in front of him, called them who they were. Hey, men of Israel. Here's what I find that we are missing many times is because we are afraid to speak directly to our audience. So we think that if I move it out here and play around with it a little bit, somehow, some way, they'll catch the drift. I'm talking to you. We can't be general in the proclamation, in the broadcasting of divine truth. Because I have found that our audience wonders who the heck we're talking to. You talking to me? Are you talking about everybody that lives down there with Brian and Venus? Who are you talking to? Because we fear rejection. Was Jesus rejected? Were the disciples rejected? We must not bow to fear. We need to take aim and speak to our audience and not play games. Well, you don't understand, in my management course, toss it out the window. We're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they need to know the truth. And you can't just assume somehow they're going to go, oh, that was for me. My neighbor would tell you that I haven't gone like this. I've just spoke to him. And now he knows where he can go get some help. Is it me? No. It's the gospel of peace that resides within me. Anybody with me? It's not me. Don't take credit for it, or things will get turned off, and you don't want it turned off. We cannot make it sound like we're talking about someone else. We need to speak to our audience and be honest with them with great love and care for their lives. Next insight is that it's the relevance with Peter in this short sermon. David O. McKay says this, I love it. The best means of preaching the gospel is by personal contact. You mean I got to get up out of my cubicle and go around to the other cubicle? Yes. By personal contact. Relevance in the dictionary is defined as this, being directly connected. Now, in my early days on staff as the outreach pastor at Stepping Stone Family Church, way back in the dark ages, some of you might call, the 80s. I had two primary responsibilities other than making sure that Ralph and Melissa did things right and got married right. We did singles ministry back in those days. And now his daughter's getting married, so you can see how old I am. So anyway, both of them are going to be getting married anyway. My two primary responsibilities was outreach, and that included Monday night visitation. Anybody old enough remember Monday night visitation? Where we take a loaf of bread and say, hey, we love you. You visited on Sunday. Yes, we did see you. Second was cold turkey door-to-door witnessing. Yeah, I saw all the looks. And we're all going Saturday. Anybody want to go with me? Yeah, I can just see it. Can't go to door-to-door anymore, but that's what I had to do. One of the things, I'm just going to use, this may seem silly, but I'm going to make a point. When I was walking up to the house, one of the things that I would do, and in training, and it was my responsibility to train everybody that came on staff or leadership on how to go door-to-door. If I wasn't doing it, Rochelle's mother was doing it, Rochelle was doing it, and some others were doing it, training. I had a couple of youth pastors decided they didn't want to be youth pastors after going door-to-door a few times. Not Colin, he would never do that, but anyway. I would walk up to the house, and I would begin to look over their property, and I would find something about their home or something close or around the door, and I would connect based on that thing. Because when they come to the door, man, they're just like, oh, gosh, one of those kind, you know? And I wouldn't start talking about the gospel. I would connect with them on a personal level and tell them, boy, this is a beautiful flower pot you got here with those flowers. I mean, what is that? You know, Rochelle and I love to plant flowers, and I love to do landscaping, and man, I might want to put something like that in. And boy, now I'm meeting them, what, on something they're familiar with, I'm familiar with, I'm looking for something. And after that, I had them. How do we speak to our audience? Do we speak to them where they don't understand where we're coming from, and we can't even connect because we don't get it? Are we taking a look at our audience and making sure that we have engaged them enough to know what is important to them? My neighbor, he likes a nice yard. So I went over and I said, give me some of your ideas about your yard. Because I like to have a nice yard. What are you doing? Because yours looks way nicer than this thing we got right now that we took over. Connected with him there and begin to build. Anybody with me so far? Okay, connecting. Now, Peter's going to connect with his audience, and here's how he's going to do it. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers. Now, they understood that. They knew the Old Testament. They knew who these people were, and yes, they saw them as their fathers, their spiritual fathers. So he's going to connect with them in a place where they would understand and be familiar with it. And it says, and glorified his servant Jesus. Now, he brings Jesus up again. Now, he's telling them, I'm going to connect with you here. You know about these guys, but what you continually don't do is you don't recognize the fact that they were pointing to Jesus. So I'm just going to bring that up. I'm not afraid to bring that up. They probably didn't like it at all, but he brought it up because he's not afraid. God's opened the door, and what's he doing? Preaching the gospel. Okay? Now, he's going to connect with him. He says, whom you delivered. Oh, my goodness. You know, Peter, you should have just shut up after you said that. Whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. You know these guys, you call them your fathers. They pointed to Jesus. And you rejected Jesus. Where's the boldness of the church gone? Acts 3:18. He says, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, and they had studied the prophets, they knew that was part of their lifestyle, being a Jew, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Verse 22, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet, like me, from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. He is reminding them of Scripture that is pointing to who? Jesus. But he's reminding them of Scripture that they are familiar with, so he's going to connect with them in a place where they can understand so that he can interject what the Scriptures say about Jesus, and that's the part they want to cut out. Nobody else ever does that? I don't like that verse. He's connecting with them. Peter is speaking to them in the context of their history. He's also preaching to them in a way that they could understand and they understood. Even though they may have turned their ears off to the statements about pointing to Jesus, they heard him. It's just like us. We can be driving down the road and might see a sign that's up high and it'll say something, and for some reason it brings conviction about something we're doing in our lives, and what do? We shut it down. But we read it. We understood it. Doesn't change the fact I'm responsible for that truth. Same with them. Let me give you a personal note. It's something that I do all the time, whether I'm talking to a Christian or a non-Christian. Ask, does this make sense? If you're going to connect with people, make sure you're connecting. Well, what if they say it doesn't make sense? Well, then reframe it. Do it again. Why? That takes time. Yes. It's work to reach lost people. And sometimes we're so used to talking to certain kinds of people, we forget that there's other people that don't understand a thing you just said. It goes right over their head. I'll ask people that are seasoned Christians, did what I just say make sense? They say, yes, I'm good. They say, kinda. Well, kinda's not good enough. I got to reframe it. Are anybody with me so far? Connect with your audience. Speak to them in a place where they can understand it. Ask the question, does this make sense? Who is within you? The power of the Holy Spirit will help you reframe that and speak it so that they can understand it. Pin truth. Preach against the background of people's knowledge and needs. Are we getting to know the lost around us? I didn't say you have to go hang out with them at the bar. Or go do the things they do that are against what the Bible says to do. But are you getting to know them? Are you with me? Peter grew up in this and around this. He knew his audience. We got to know our audience. Are we even taking the time to know what our audience is? Are you with me? Well, they're just all the people who won't listen to me. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you know your audience well enough that you can find a way so they will listen to you? Come on. Just giving you some practical advice this morning. Because why? Because get ready, you're going to preach the gospel and you're going to be effective. I didn't hear any amens. You're going to be effective. Number three, insight. The man. Charles Spurgeon said, and I love this, never was man blamed in heaven for preaching Christ too much. But what will Jesus say? We don't meditate on this much because we don't want to think about it. There will be a judgment day and we will give an account. What would it be like if I was to hear, you didn't do enough? All these opportunities and you just kept quiet or ran from it. Or you were afraid because you thought this would cost you something. It cost me my life. I'm just asking you to do what you can do where you're at. Probably won't cost you anything. Other than maybe somebody hang up the phone or walk away from you. I think about the ladies, seeing Emily over here, I think about the ladies at the pregnancy center at the Arlington Women's Clinic, Metroplex. They've had their name changed. I'm still getting used to it. Metroplex Women's Clinic. How many times they share the gospel and how many times they're rejected, but it doesn't stop them the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and the next time. Anybody with me? So you're rejected. So you quit? You ought to dig down and go, ah, oh, you shouldn't. Ah, oh, man, now I'm motivated. And preach the gospel. Peter's central proclamation, his central broadcasting of divine truth, was all about the man who? Jesus Christ. God's love, His grace, revealed in His Son. Now, another pen truth. True preaching is all about Jesus. Quit being cute. Period. Quit trying to be a psychologist. Period. Preach Jesus. He's the answer. He's the answer. Preach Jesus. Let's notice the names that Peter gives to our Lord in just this brief sermon. I mean, it's very brief sermon. Number one, verse 13, his servant Jesus. Verse 14, the holy and righteous one, Jesus. The author of life, verse 15, Jesus. Verse 18, Christ, the anointed one. Verse 20, the Christ, the one anointed to be Savior. Verse 26, his son Jesus. What's the central theme of his sermon? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I'm going to step up on my soapbox again. Did he say in his name 6 times or 7 times? In his name. In whose name, Peter? Let's quit being afraid to say Jesus. Well, they may not let me pray again. That's okay. At least you got it out there. Jesus' name. Well, you can't pray anymore. It's okay. I proclaim the name of Jesus, the most powerful name on planet Earth, has just impacted this meeting, and you didn't even realize it. Jesus. Number four, the purpose. Tony Campello says this, let us preach Christ. Let us be faithful to proclaiming the gospel. Let us. In the context that he was talking about at that time, the audience he had wasn't a whole bunch of preachers. He was talking to the church. Let us preach the gospel. Let us proclaim the gospel. Pen truth, compassion led Peter to preach because it was a matter of life or death for his hearers. We just truck along through life forgetting that there are people all around us that are headed to an end that is not good. I am motivated for all my neighbors. Most of them, when they find out I was a preacher, won't talk to me. But I don't tell them I am. Still trying to figure out how most of them found out. I don't tell anybody who I am. I don't even tell them I'm a Christian right away. Because I'm here to proclaim the name of Jesus, not mine. I can't preach this if I'm not living it. I'm just being honest with you, okay? Can y'all handle that? Okay? Compassion led Peter to preach because it was a matter of life or death for his hearers. I'm going to go back to the statement from Vance again. The task of the preacher is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Can we have the courage today to let the Spirit of the living God and the preaching of the Word today maybe to afflict me a little bit and pull me out of my comfort zone? Well, I didn't come to the church to be afflicted. Two different kinds of affliction. Are y'all with me? There's being coming here and getting healed in worship. Man, if you didn't engage worship, you should have, because there was healing power in the worship today. And right now, there is the move of the Holy Spirit to get our attention. Different kind of affliction. In Acts chapter 3, verse 14, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. Wow. Wow. He risked being killed right after he made that statement. The only thing we risk most of the time is they may not talk to us again. Or they might talk about us. That's okay. Everybody's going to find out if you come to me, you're going to hear truth. And you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Verse 26 of Acts. End of the sermon. You notice the sermon isn't very long. You don't have to have a whole lot of words to preach Jesus Christ to your audience. Verse 26, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities or your sin. What I want my neighbor to know is that God loves you. We are praying for you. And God has the power through the death, burial, resurrection of his son Jesus Christ to bring healing to your body. Even though you're still trying to figure out who Jesus is. Anybody with me? Shouldn't cause you to back off. The preacher's message is Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ is now very alive. The question is today, do we have a strong conviction, personal conviction, that Christ died, Christ was resurrected, that Christ is alive right now, and that Christ wants to use me to reach lost people? Where's our conviction level on that? Where's our conviction level? And one of the worst things we can do is sit here today and say, I've got all this already. I could have went and heard another sermon. You've already missed it. God's speaking to all of us. But if you don't have an ear to hear, you'll miss one of the most primary things that you needed for today because we think we know it already. Preaching, as we said last week, is also for the growth of what? The church. Because preaching also has teaching. There is the proclamation of truth and then the teaching of that truth. Everybody with me so far? I've had people come to me and say, you know what, you could be a different church if you would do this. And I said, I will not compromise for that reason. Truth will come from this platform. Not going to play around to look good. I'm only concerned about one person caring about how I look. Anybody else? It's Jesus, my Father. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. I'm going to ask you to stay seated. I got some things I want to say as they're preparing. It's time, and I know a lot of people are on vacation this week. Some of you are back, and a whole other group went away, as they were letting us know this week. And to all of you that are online, I want everyone to have an ear to hear right now, to hear me very carefully. It is time that the church shed the old wineskins. Because you can't expect new wine to come into an old wineskin because it'll burst it and destroy it. But what God's needing his church to do is desire a new wineskin with new wine. And the church, please don't, if you can. God needs his church to be filled with fresh wine. And maybe the fresh infilling you need today is a boldness to go out and proclaim that Jesus Christ died for you. Maybe the new wine you need inside you is to quit thinking that you got it and you've got a handle on everything and start realizing that this is a moment where you can learn. Maybe you need new wine to come in to begin to flush out all of your agenda and priority and get more attuned to His priorities and agenda. There's one massive thing I've learned is when I make His agendas my priority, He makes sure that my agendas are taken care of and a whole lot better. They're going to sing a song called New Wine. You may want to stand, you may want to kneel, that's all on you. But what I'm going to ask you is God's shepherd, is that you don't let your mind run to this afternoon or tomorrow or run away from this message this morning, but that you run to the message and ask God to embrace you with new wine and to give you a new wineskin. And that as you hear this song, part of it says, the crushing. Let God, by His Spirit, who loves you so, so much, bring that crushing so that He can pour in new wine so the church can go fulfill its call to reach the lost and the hurting. We are told to seek and save the lost, but we need to be filled with Him. Another way of saying with the new wine is a fresh infilling of God's presence and power in my life that aligns with His will. Oh, come on. Pouring in the new wine so that I can go do a new thing in a new way than I've ever done it before and watch people's lives change. Amen? I want you to do this for just this moment. Close your eyes. So I hear.